So there came a time in Jesus' ministry. He only ministered for like 3 years, right? From the time of his baptism to the time of his crucifixion, about 3 years. And we know that from piecing together evidence that we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You look at the festivals that he went to and the stuff that he did. He ministered for about 3 years. Somewhere around the 2.5 to 3 year mark, right? His ministry started crack-a-lacking. I mean, you can see throughout the New Testament that every time this guy showed up, like, people were coming. In fact, one of the mysteries of the Gospels is you see the man walking around saying, hey, I know I just healed you, but do me a solid, don't talk about it. And it's like, what? Like, why would Jesus not want word to get out that he's got, like, this power from God to heal people? And books have been written on this, but one of the answers is because he already had so many people showing up that he had a hard time even doing what he's going to do because he was mobbed. And so right around the 2.5 to 3 year mark of his ministry was just going hard in the paint. That was good. Ham and bone. I'm learning some new things from some young guys that can also preach. So I don't even know what that means. I just know it means things are really going well. Things are really going well for Jesus' ministry. So well to the point that he's in Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. And not only are Jews coming to hear from this Jewish rabbi, but there's a group of guys who made the trip from Greece down to Jerusalem, and they approached Philip, one of Jesus' apostles, and they said, because he was from an area that had some Greek influence, and so they kind of knew him a little bit, and they said, hey, we want to see Jesus. They're not Jews, right? They're not Jews by lineage. There's really no reason they should be wanting hanging out with a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish rabbi, but word has gotten out in a big way. And so this group of Greek men came to Philip and said, we would like to see Jesus. This is how big Jesus' ministry had become. And then he says a thing, and we're going to talk about the thing that he says. Good, it's not up there yet. He says a thing, right? And then the thing that he says leads to something that only happened one other time in the entire New Testament regarding Jesus. After Jesus says this thing in response to this growing ministry that he has, God speaks from heaven out loud and says, my boy's kind of awesome. That's a total paraphrase. That's not what it actually says. But in John chapter 12, the voice from heaven actually says, because Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. And his dad answers him out loud in John chapter 12, in the second half of verse 28, he says, I have glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. And some people heard the voice. Some people thought it was thundering. Some people didn't know what was going on. But the bottom line is that Jesus' ministry is, like, doing very well. His popularity is out of control. People are flocking to him. Powerful, right? People are making decisions of faith. He says a thing, and then basically God replies to that from heaven and says, yeah, through this statement, through this idea, through this concept that my boy just shared with you, I have glorified my name and I'm going to glorify my name again. So the question is, what did he say? Did he say, I'm awesome sauce and it's kind of obvious because I'm being flocked to all these people are flocking to me? Did he say, even more of you need to come to me and even more of you need to spend time with me? Let's take a look. You can find it in John chapter 12, verses 24 through 23. This is what Jesus says at the request from Philip that some guys who are not Jews come and be a part of his retinue. He says this, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. We get that. That's why we're here. We traveled from Greece because we heard about you, and we want to glorify God, and we think you are a big part of this. The healings and the teachings that you have are unlike anything we've ever heard about. We need to find out more about you. So absolutely, we get it. It is time for you to be glorified. And then he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What? Why are we talking about like wheat now? Why are we talking about fruit now? Why are we talking about seeds now? And really, why are we talking about death? Why are we talking about putting something in the ground, covering it with dirt, and being like, yep, it's dead? Why are we're here to honor you. We're here to glorify you. There's people coming from all over. We had to talk to one of your boys to even get in to access to you. And like Jesus says this thing, and God says, that's exactly what I'm talking about. This whole thing about falling into the ground and dying, that's exactly, I have glorified my name and I'm going to do it again. What? Like your dad's on board with this too? What is going on here? What is Jesus talking about? If you follow the text, you'll see that he's talking about going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world and being laid in a tomb. It's a picture, the metaphor clearly speaks of a seed dying and being covered in the earth, and it's not a hard thing to figure out. It's not a tricky metaphor. He's talking about dying because he did just a few days later. And then somehow, as we all know, when you plant a seed and it dies, it gives up its essence and it becomes something that it never could be if it just remained alive by itself. And we know that this continued metaphor is Jesus talking about the church. That if I die, the sins of the world will be forgiven. The Holy Spirit will be able to run rampant through the planet because perfect atonement has been made for sin. And now I can indwell permanently people who are known by my name. Unless a seed falls into the earth and dies, then when it grows, it has more fruit than it ever could have if it didn't fall into the earth and die. It's not something you and I probably would have said if our business, if our enterprise, if our efforts were really, you know, taking off. You started a business or you took a new job and the Lord's blessed it, and you're, you know, you're 2, maybe 3 years in. And like, you know, promotions are coming your way, and like they're sending interns your way. Like, hey, you want to learn how to do the thing? You go talk to him because he's been doing a thing for 2 to 3 years, and we can't get enough of how he does the thing. You know, and so like people are like, you're a mentor, and you're effective, and you can see, and you're providing for your family. And then someone says, you know, well, what's the secret sauce? Where is this going? We want to see more of you. You know, no, actually, you need to see less of me. Actually, we need less of me because I need to give away everything that I've learned. I need to hand over all that I've built so that everybody can have the same kind of effectiveness that I've had. We don't see that in the business world. You're a professional educator. You just went back to school this week. You're a parent in a classroom. And kids love you. There's something about you that's like, you know, they just love you. And what's really amazing is because they love you, and it's out of response for the fact that you love them, that when you say, stop picking your nose or kicking Tammy, they actually use a Kleenex and don't kick Tammy. And so like the other teachers are watching this, and like the special teachers are watching this, and the cafeteria ladies are watching this, and they want more of you. Like, hey, can you watch more kids? And your response is, no, actually you need less of me. Because here's how you do the thing. Everybody, here's how you love these. And the answer is not more of me. The answer is actually less. The answer is me giving you everything I've learned. Here's how I love these kids. Here's how they know that I love these kids. And that's why they listen. You give it away. You give it all away. I don't want the plaques. I don't want the recognition. I don't need any of that stuff. I want less so that I can give away more. This is what we see from this verse, and it's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the planting of the New Testament church, and we're going to celebrate that through communion. However, I think there's an application for River Church today, and this is something that I thought about on vacation, and it's sometimes I have like these thoughts in my head, and they really mean a lot to me, and because they mean so much to me and they make so much sense to me, that I think that everybody else knows the thoughts that are in my head, even though I never said anything. I don't, maybe I'm the only person that does that, but I have a terrible, and as a dad, this can be very frustrating, I know. As a team leader, this can be very frustrating. I feel that I'm so passionate about something that it's so obvious that why do I have to say the thing? Because obviously everybody sees what I mean when I say the thing, even though I never said the thing. And I realized this morning that I need to say the thing. And the thing that I need to say is that it's not about River Church. Starting River Church is not about River Church. And we're going to talk about this more in the weeks to come. And I'm so passionate about this that I haven't said it out loud. I haven't been clear about it. And it has to do with this dynamic that we see in the scripture, that being a part of River Church, it's not really about River Church. I mean, obviously, we hope people come and they make decisions of faith and they get involved and have their lives changed, but it's not about River Church. You know what River Church is about? Every person that lives in Eastern Connecticut. River Church is about every person that lives in Eastern Connecticut. We wanna be an influence for Jesus Christ all up and down the 395 corridor. And that it's not that we want River Church anywhere, it's that we want to see Jesus everywhere. And so as River Church, you know, we're coming up on our 2-year mark and we're coming out of summer and we survived our second summer. That's amazing. We survived August. That's amazing. And people are coming and it's great and we have some events in the community. It's not about River Church. Well, how can you say that? I mean, God is blessing River Church and River Church has some ministry effectiveness and we've got some small groups and I've never been a part of a church that was so engaged in the community before in my life. How can it not be about River Church? It's not about River Church. As fast as we can give stuff away, we're going to give stuff away. As fast as we can train up ministry leaders and give them away, we're going to give them away. As fast as we can start new churches, we're going to start new churches. As fast as we can buy them new sound systems and the stuff that we know you need to have a church, we're going to do it because it's not about River Church. Why? Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it's never going to produce fruit. It's not about God pouring resources into one particular organization, not even his son. It's about what can happen when that person, in the case of Jesus Christ, or that organization, in the case of River Church, trust the Father enough that we give it away as fast as humanly possible and share the blessing with as many as are willing to be blessed. So why is that? Well, one of the reasons is that River Church is the fruit of other churches and organizations' sacrifice. River Church wouldn't exist if High Point Church didn't let me go graciously as an associate pastor. River Church wouldn't be here if they didn't pay my salary for the first 2 years that River Church was here. You guys probably didn't know that. Have you ever quit a job and have your boss pay you for 2 years after you quit? That's God doing something, right? Like, wow, that is, I'm quitting tomorrow. Like, that is awesome. What? Hey, yeah, it happened for me. I don't know, I'm not that particularly good or talented. It could happen for you too. Give it a shot. Talk to your wife. I quit my job and for 2 years my boss paid me for full time. I had to call him up in March of this year for the second time. I tried to quit him again a year ago, and he wouldn't let me quit him. I tried to quit him again then March, and I was like, look, I do not want to be a barnacle on the hull of your church. And if a church is not financially individual, autonomous, within 3 to 5 years, it will never be. If your child is always nursing and never stops nursing, when they're 6 years old, you're going to have some awkward moments in first grade. Right? Let me go. The church can either, you know, pay me a little something-something or they can't. Either way, God is providing. And so finally, graciously, I know I'm talking crazy sauce right now, he stopped paying me, right? So without that kind of a sacrifice, River Church wouldn't exist. High Point Church died to that money. High Point Church died to my position. High Point Church died to the missions program that I started 13 years ago. They haven't gone on a missions trip since. They will, but they haven't in 2 years. High Point Church planted seeds that cost them, that was a sacrifice to them, so that River Church could grow and thrive. Our partnership with the North American Mission Board. They provide coaching and mentoring for me and other leaders in this church. They know what it takes to start a new church. And so they have allocated resources towards River Church as well. So these two partnerships, these two organizations have committed themselves, have sacrificed themselves, have died to certain things so that they could be a blessing to River Church. What does that mean for River Church? Well, and before I answer that question, why would they do that? Why would these organizations and individuals die to themselves in certain ways and give away things that they could have easily held on to for themselves? For this simple fact, that nobody shares the gospel like new churches. Nobody is more effective in seeing decisions of faith than new churches. Why? Because we're desperate. We're all in. We have the gospel of Jesus and nothing else, and so we rely on it completely, and God moves purely. And as an organization gets older and older and older, and there's more and more things, it gets harder to maintain that pure gospel commitment to where that's all we have. And we don't care if the school is locked. We don't care if the lights come on. We don't care if the sound system works. That's what new churches feel like. And God uses that very, very powerfully. And organizations like High Point Church and the North American Mission Board get that. And so they say, we are willing to die in little ways, in certain ways, so that a new church can spring up. River Church. That's us. That's River Church. So that's why River Church is the fruit of others' sacrifice. They too followed this gospel model, and that is why River Church is here. So the question is, when a new church becomes established, when it starts to get older, how does it maintain that same effectiveness? How does it maintain that same passion? How does it maintain that same statistically data-driven fact that new churches bring more people to decisions of faith than well-established churches? How do you maintain that as River Church gets old? And we're far from getting old, but, you know, it's coming, it's happening. We're all getting older, and, you know, how does River Church maintain that missional purpose and that effectiveness? We give it all away. Because by sacrifice, we can help spark new growth. Right? When you get married, it's awesome and it's exciting and it's about you and it's about your spouse and there's this time of discovery and you buy all the things and you set up the house and it's great and then there's two empty bedrooms. What do you do with those bedrooms? You don't buy more stuff. You have babies. And then for a while, it's about babies. It's about raising those children because it really, even though you got married, it's really not about you. It's about children and seeing what it looks like when you and someone else run around together in another body. That's what it becomes. And then those bedrooms fill up. And then those bedrooms get empty again. And then what does it become about? Grandbabies. I don't know yet, but they're the ones I've been told that we truly love. Right, Mom? Thank you. We truly love. That's for Mom now, right? So that's it. There's like Mom and then there's the Bible, but I mean, Mom's pretty close. So when Mom says that it's really about grandbabies, it's really about grandbabies. Those are the ones that we actually love, really love, right? That's how older organizations, older couples, older people maintain effectiveness. They have children and they have grandchildren and they're a blessing to those who come behind and they help get them on their way. How? They give them whatever they need. They give them whatever they need. They give them whatever they need. Because unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But when a seed falls into the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. So how does a church like River Church maintain missional effectiveness as we become more organized, more stabilized, offer more ministries, have more established leadership, and have more years under our belt? It's by sacrificing, giving as much away as fast as possible to help establish new churches and revitalize ones that need help. It's not about River Church. I never said that out loud, but I've been so passionate about it that I thought it was understood. And that's silly, and I know that we're only not even 2 years in, so it sounds a little crazy to be even talking about that, but it's never been about River Church. It's always been about Eastern Connecticut, our people. And that's how we do it. Unless a seed falls into the ground, it stays alone. But when a seed falls into the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. So, and this is the biblical text. When an organization or an individual makes a commitment like that, God speaks from heaven. right? He speaks from heaven. The only other time he spoke from heaven was when Jesus was baptized, and that is transfiguration. It's the only other time he speaks from heaven. And this is the third time when Jesus says, if a seed remains unburied, it dies alone. But if it dies, if it gives it all away, it bears much fruit. It's never been about River Church. And I find that so exciting, knowing that, sure, people are coming to River Church. Perfect. Great. They need to. We should. I just love knowing that it's not about River Church, that it's bigger than River Church, that it's about what God is going to do with River Church in the years to come, just like what God's going to do with your children and your grandchildren in the years to come. And so, because of that, from day one, River Church has been a church that gives. River Church gives. We helped pay for the drug-sniffing dog that's going to be in the school system here in the next few months. We were the first ones to sponsor that. We've underwritten different programs that were canceled by the school budget cutbacks. And so privately, quietly, you'll never see it on social media. You'll never see it. We just do it. I email the leaders here, and I say, how can we help? How can we give? We were 6 months old, and we spent $3,000 on the risers that you'll see here in a few months because the old risers were creaky and dangerous, and so we bought new risers. We spend thousands of dollars a year giving back to the school, back to the community in different ways. And so it's always been about giving. We only charge $5 for the princess party. That doesn't even cover the expense of the T-shirts that we give away. Other organizations have partnered, and so we do get some of that money back, but these community outreach events, they cost us money. We give it away. Why do we do that? Well, I already told you why, but what you don't know about the Princess Party and the Tough Buddy is that when people come to these events and they see you and how much fun you're having and how much we love each other and how we're comfortable as a church giving everything away, making fun affordable so that we can have opportunities to share people, invite them to church and share the gospel. That's very attractive. People in Plainfield like that too. People in Sterling think that's pretty awesome. People in Danielson kind of think that's a good idea as well. And so these events, for now, they're just in Griswold, but they're not going to be in Griswold for long. I'm already talking with church planters that like the Princess Party and the Tough Buddy so much that they want us to come and show them how to do it in towns all up and down 395. And so I think that maybe God is going to use these crazy, goofy, silly, fun events to help start new churches. We can't give stuff away fast enough. Does it mean we give away a few T-shirts? Does it mean we give away a few cupcakes? Absolutely. Does it mean we spend a couple thousand dollars here, a couple thousand dollars there? You bet. Because I think God might use that to help start new churches all up and down 395 as towns are saying, these events are so much fun. We're driving down to Griswold to have this event. Why don't you come up here and have it with us? That's where it's going to go. That's where it's going to go. And so it's just very, very exciting. And so as God gives us more and more ability, we're going to keep giving more and more away. We're going to keep giving stuff away and running these events in different towns. And being a blessing to start new churches up and down 395. That's where this is going. Or I'm going to die trying. I've always known that from day one too, but I never said it out loud. I'm going to die trying. This is it. This is where the bus stops for me. It's not about River Church. It's always going to be about River Church for me, but River Church we're going to keep trying to start new things. And so I know that's kind of a weird thing to think about on a Sunday morning a little bit, but I for the past 2 weeks, I got away and got some perspective, and I'm like, I don't want my church to be frustrated or not understand why I'm so passionate about these community events and these engagements, because I see so clearly in the text at this point in Jesus' own personal ministry, right when he should be saying, you're right, everybody should be giving me more honor and glory and time and attention, he says, unless a seed dies, it stays alone. But when it dies and is covered in the dirt, it bears much fruit. And then God speaks from heaven. That's awesome sauce. And so I see that in the text, and I see how River Church can be a part of that. And so part of that means we have a culture of generosity. We have a culture of engaging in the community. We have a culture of being quiet about some of that generosity and then being as loud as we can about some of the other aspects of it, knowing that people will come and make decisions of faith. And then as fast as they come, we're going to raise up and train new ministry teams and send them out to new parts of the state to do new works, to share the gospel in new towns. You might be involved in a ministry here at River Church right now. That's great. Hope more are. But you may only be here for a couple of years because we might start a church in Plainfield, and you live in Plainfield. And I might say, hey, you know what? You do the thing here in Griswold. Awesome. How about you go with Pastor so-and-so and go do it in Plainfield? He's going to need some help. And so there's always room for ministry at River Church because we're going to try and kick you out of here as fast as we can. If your zip code is on 06351, I don't know what you're doing here. Well, I know what you're doing here. You're waiting for us to start a church in your hometown. That's what you're doing. And so as fast as we can get people engaged here and raised up and trained, and it takes years, I get it. That's what we're about. That's why River Church is a church that gives. So I know it's a little bit different for a Sunday morning sermon, but I hope you appreciate that insight into the scripture there. And we're going to move into a time of communion. There was a tree that was planted the year that I was born, 400 years ago, in Preston, at my grandparents' house. And I think it was a hemlock, but I'm not sure. It's not a particularly handsome tree, but it grows fast, and maybe that's why they planted it. And they planted this piney-looking tree. And, you know, until I was about 7 or 8 years old, it was one of those things that you had to be careful that you didn't mow over because it was so small. And then right around the time I was 7 or 8 years old, I could go out in the yard and we could, like, look at each other eye to eye. I know it's a tree, but you know what I mean. Like, we could look at each other eye to eye, me and this tree. And then right around the time I'm, you know, 10, turning into a teenager, I'm hitting my growth spurt. That tree's cranking into its growth spurt, and now it's tall. And now that that tree is well into its fourth generation, right? Fourth decade, moving on to its fifth decade, it's slowed down the growth. And it doesn't grow this way so much, it kind of grows more this way. And, you know, me too, right? That's how this happens. Thousands of pine cones have been generated off of this tree over the years, but yet not a single one of them has ever grown into a new tree. Why? We keep mowing grandma's yard. We keep cutting it down. And now Graham doesn't live there anymore, and other families live there now, and it's still generating pine cones, but there's no new trees next to that tree because we keep cutting them down. So when it comes to River Church, how do we not cut down the new seedlings? How do we not cut down the new growth? Well, we intentionally allow it to grow, and we keep giving away as fast as we can, knowing that some will take and some won't, but it won't be for us, one, not trying or mowing them down, right? And so as we move into a time of communion, this is exactly what we're celebrating. Jesus said that if a seed does not die, it stays alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And so one of the things Jesus commanded the New Testament church was that I want you to remember this. I want you to think about this, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we're all supposed to model this in certain ways as individuals and also as an organization. And so we have the elements, the little piece of bread and the little bit of juice. It's a symbol of Jesus' body that he gave. It's a symbol of his blood that he gave. And if you're wondering, hey, I'm new here, it's my first time here, or I haven't been here for communion, should I participate in communion today? The answer is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you do, then I would encourage you to accept communion. If you don't, I would encourage you to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so either way, the choice is up to you, but it's not a River Church thing, it's a Jesus thing. He set this table, we just pull up a chair. And so if you're comfortable pulling up a chair to a table that Jesus set for people of faith and partaking, then please do. And if you're not, then of course you're under no compulsion to do so. And so I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to pray. We have this opportunity to receive communion together, and then we will wrap up our time together this morning by worshiping him in song one final time. I'm so thankful for the guys that came and spoke while I was gone, but I gotta tell you, it feels so good to be back with you guys, and I love you guys, And as fast as I can kick you out of here, we're going to kick you out of here. Go be in a church in your own zip code. We're working on it. Give us some time. We're working on it. But it's coming. Help me move towards that as we engage in ministry here at River Church. We'll be talking more about that in the weeks to come. Here's what Paul writes that he received directly from the Lord regarding communion. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you on the night when he was betrayed, one or two nights after the verse that we studied this morning. The Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so you'll notice you have two cups. The bottom cup is the bread and the top cup is the juice. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing and then let's take communion together. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to remember. Thank you for this opportunity to be inspired. Thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of what your word says. And Father, we pray that you would raise up a fearless people here at River Church who are not afraid to recognize what you have blessed us with, and we're not afraid to make strong commitments, and we're not afraid to give it away as fast as we can, because it's not about us. It's not about River Church. It's about glorifying the name of your son in Eastern Connecticut. And we know that when we move in that direction, that you're going to say amen from heaven. And so as we remember this morning the death, burial, and resurrection of your son and the example that he set for us, we pray that we too would be inspired and motivated to take a step of faith this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's